It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are still recovering from the holidays here in the good U.S. of A. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. And I know that Canada celebrates Thanksgiving, but I think they do it earlier in the year. I think it's in October. Either way, we're just, when I say we, me and my family, some of the guys here in the office are still recovering. We had an extended vacay, if you will. And, you know, you come back, and a couple of interesting things. You know, we left all the stuff, and we made all these plans that, what do you call it? All the things that we were going to do when we got back from holiday, right? And interestingly enough, some of those things just did not seem as important, right? Just something to think about. You know, we sometimes get so caught up in getting things done or finishing a project that we forget to sometimes take a step back and say, hey, is this still aligned with our goals? Is this still as important as it was when I started? And anyway, just kind of like a food for thought. Sometimes we get so caught up in chasing this and chasing that that we forget that, you know, maybe it's not as important as we think it is. Now, don't get me wrong. Maybe the goal is still important. That's the priority. But maybe the method or the road needs to change, right? So just a little food for thought. So like I said, we're back hoping that you guys – had a great week. Again, for those who were able to take a couple of days off, celebrate the family, celebrate Thanksgiving, and let us not forget let us not forget the brave men and women who are not able to take the holidays off. They're still working and still protecting our country, defending our rights, allowing us to be entrepreneurial, allowing us to run our companies and to, you know, market our products. So let's not forget those guys. Very important. All right, let's get this party started. You know what? I'm excited. Today on the show, we have the one and only Sam Waterfall. Sam Waterfall is the founder and expert consultant at Obvious Marketing and specializes in creating practical marketing growth strategies for ambitious growth businesses around the world. His clients include O2, Virgin, L'Oreal, as well as small business and startups around the world. Sam Waterfall, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. Great to be back. Do appreciate that. And hope you are feeling good and had a good amount of quality family time over Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Just like I said, still kind of getting back into the groove, if you will. Anyway, but you know what? I'm excited to talk about today's topic because I think this is something that sometimes it's real and sometimes it's made up. And so today we're going to be talking about, does your business have barriers stopping your customers from buying? And I want to dive into this because I think this is such an important such an important thing to talk about. So I want to start off with the price barrier, and I want to talk about engaging your customers. The entry-level price to engage with businesses sometimes might be too high, or maybe sometimes it's might be too cheap. But I want you to talk about the price barrier. Talk about this.
Sure. I think the price barrier is just one of many. And over the years working with larger companies and smaller companies, I've just bumped into barrier after barrier that companies are inadvertently using to stop people buying from them. And of course, that's not what they want at all. And that's really the biggest problem with all of the barriers that I've identified. They actually seem to be really invisible to many of the business owners, many of the marketing teams. They don't realize, of course, that they're putting these barriers up. And the price barrier is just the first one. It's the first one of the eight major barriers that I see time and time again. And you come across this yourself. You see this when a company has an entry-level price that is just too expensive for you to maybe take a risk with them that first time. And it's to do with that first time. Sometimes you're prepared to spend more and more with companies that you know and trust. But when it's trying to engage with a new business, maybe the price is just a little bit too high. We're not sure about trying that for the first time. And so that can be a big problem, and it can be stopping a lot of purchases.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so let me ask you this then, because you said there's eight of them. We just talked about the one, the price barrier. What are some of the other barriers that you see that are stopping people from buying?
Sure. Well, let me give you a quick sort of rundown of the list. So I've really identified eight of them, and some companies have got all eight going against them, and that causes a really big problem. Other companies have got just maybe one or two. But of course, you know, any one of them can be a problem. Any one of them can actually be stopping somebody actually, you know, pulling out that credit card and actually making a purchase from you, either online or in person. The second one after the price barrier is the trust barrier. And this really comes down to the fact, as you know, we do business with those that we know, that we like, and that we trust. And if you haven't got enough of that like going on, if you haven't got enough of the trust with your business, then unfortunately, sometimes the business is just too new. And it's one of these things that we often hear about, that you need in advertising to get seven or eight different exposures to really drive proper awareness of your brand, your business, or your offer, so that someone will actually feel familiar enough with it to actually take notice. The next one, the third one, is all about permission. And this is increasingly important these days. And I'm sure your inbox looks a bit like mine. And sometimes you just wonder, how did all these people get hold of my email address? And, you know, it should be a real intrusion these days. It's true, isn't it? It's
right.
Like every time you go, it's like, how much spam here? And you can put filters on and you can try to block things, but it comes in, and this really is an intrusion, an annoyance. And if you're doing that kind of marketing, you don't have permission to speak to those people. And so it's really important to find a way to build permission, to get the permission of the person receiving it first. Otherwise, you just, you know, you're starting off on beyond the wrong foot, right? You know, it's so frustrating when someone's just spamming into your inbox. It's like a personal intrusion. The next one then is like a values barrier, and it's where you just feel that, you know what, this business just is not like me. And it might be that I value recycling or I value sustainability in a product, and that's something that's important to me. And clearly, this business has got packaging which is not sustainable. It's not recyclable. And that, for that reason, maybe you just say, do you know what, that's not for me anymore. I'll go to the competitor who has something, a product that's is more aligned with my values. There's also an image barrier. People sometimes just completely misjudge the image of their branding. And for some reason, we just don't like it. So that's for someone else, and we just walk away. And you know that when you go into any mall, there's shops like that where you just say, nope, that's for other people, that's not mine. And it can be that it's either too high-end or too low-end, or any number of other things, but the image has to fit the target customer. One of the worst ones, though, but one of the worst barriers is number six, is the clarity barrier. And this is where people just simply don't understand what it is that you do. And this is very often a problem with business-to-business services or technical solutions. It's where we see people think that what they do is clear because they do it all the time, every day, but actually customers just don't get it, and so they can't be buying it. There's another huge one, which is number seven. It's called the timing barrier. And sometimes you're too early for the market, and sometimes you're too late the party. You know, if you're setting up a business these days trying to sell DVDs, you're probably too late. You know, we've seen where Blockbuster's gone. We can see exactly where everything's going as software as a service. You need to be at the right part of the trend wave. And the final one is the checkout barrier. And you know this one. It's where we get that problem of cart abandonment. It's where someone has got all the way through the sales process to actually nearly buying. And then for whatever reason, we make it too complicated at that last moment, and they leave us with a half-filled-out shopping cart. So all of these problems, that 8 barriers, any one of them can be a problem. If you've got more than one, it's really hurting your business at the moment.
Yeah, that's interesting. All of these things, like you said, we all probably have some of these. And, of course, if you have all of these, you probably just uncovered why you're not doing business. And what's interesting to me is a lot of these are also, at least in my estimation, I want to get your opinion on this. A lot of these also come down to either knowing your customers really well or not knowing them really well, right? So, I mean, if you don't know your customers really well, then the price that you're pricing your product or service at might be throwing off your customers. If you don't know your customers really well, then it's going to be a much longer, slower process for them to trust you, right? And of course, you know, if you know your customers really well, then you know what their values are. You know that they do like recyclable items, or they like doing business with a company that's doing some kind of charity work or things of that nature. And of course, the better you understand your customer, the clearer you can talk to them in a way that's relatable, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I'm nodding along, you know, with everything you're saying there, because it's so important. And the astounding thing is, you know, some of these things really are marketing 101. They're real marketing basics, and yet we see them made over and over again. And it comes back to that idea of marketing myopia that was first used in the prestigious Harvard Business Review with the Theodore Levitt's article, which has now become very famous. But this idea of marketing myopia is where a company focuses too hard on selling their product. And they're all about, can we get the sales? Have we hit the target? Sell, sell, sell. And what they really should be doing, and it comes down to exactly what you're saying about knowing the customer, it's trying to serve the customer better. And if we can take that perspective, and it might not seem the logical way, people might be thinking, no, but I've got to sell what it is that I've made. But actually, if you can understand who you're selling to, who you're marketing to, what ticks their boxes, what checks their boxes, what really makes things work for them, what really makes them get excited about something, then you can sell them more and more. And increasingly, and I'm sure you discovered this as well, it's not really about selling or hard selling. On the contrary, this marketing message these days is actually about telling the story that your target customer already wants to hear. And that way your image matches what they want to see, the clarity matches the story they're already telling in their head, the timing is just right for them. And suddenly when they go into a store or when they go to your website and they see what you're doing, they say, oh, where's this been all my life? This is exactly what I've been looking for. And it's because you're telling the story that's already going on, that inner dialogue that's in their head. And that's really the way to be thinking about your business. So it's alarming how many companies still haven't got a clear idea of who their target is. And it's really the starting place to start overcoming these barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about eliminating the barriers. What can companies do? I mean, we just talked about getting to know your customers better, having that knowledge of what's going on in their head, that conversation that's going on in their head. What are some other things that you talk to your clients about as far as overcoming or eliminating these barriers?
Sure. Well, let me give you some really practical steps on this, Burton, and hopefully this will be really useful for lots of the business owners listening, because I think these are simple strategy changes. They're easy executions that can quickly overcome many of the barriers that we've just been talking about. So hopefully these are really useful tips. The first one, and what I'm going to try and do is link together some solutions that I think really start to hit many of these barriers and break them down. And the first one is the idea of just lowering the cost of engagement with your business. And that cost of engagement, of course, sometimes you're paying with money, with dollars. Other times you're paying with your time and the way that you sort of sit through something and you take time to investigate. What we're trying to do is find a way to make it really easy to get started. And if we come back to that idea of we need a certain number of exposures to a brand or to a message for it to really register, and of course this is because we are all of us exposed to so many messages. I mean, we've just come off Black Friday, right? And then Cyber Monday, and I've seen a few people extending to Cyber Tuesday. Everyone's really been pushing this so hard this year. And so, you know, again, our inboxes are under siege, our TV screens, the commercials are pushing this so hard. How on earth do we just keep thinking about, you know, what it is that we want to get done? And coming back to your message that you were just saying about, are things really important? You know, how do people stay focused on that? And what we need to do to be able to cut through and give someone a chance to engage with our business amongst all of that noise is make that initial engagement very, very easy and very, very tempting. So the way to do it, though, is not to trick somebody into giving you an email address or starting an engagement. It's actually by delivering genuine value. And I'm really passionate about that. Because these days, there's so many people who are trying to rip us off or scam us or take something or surprise us or you know, just get to that stage so they can start marketing to us. And this comes down to what I was saying about that permission barrier again. This means that people's walls against permission have come up, these barriers have come up a long way, and it makes our job as marketers really, really difficult. So surprise people. One of the very best strategies that you can use is to give someone extraordinary value. Make it really, really worthwhile for them. And, you know, you've seen this. There's a lot of businesses where it starts off with something free, and I recommend that. But don't just give a trashy free report or a free introductory call that turns into a sales call. Use that call to really help somebody, give them some value. And what you do with that is you remove that barrier and you actually surprise them so much so that they're like, this company's amazing. They've really given me something. I've really benefited from this. That barrier just melts away at that point. And what you've done is you've invited them to engage with you and you've invited them into your business. You've also had such a high quality interaction that you have, you know, maybe moved through three or four or five of those otherwise necessary marketing exposures that would cost you money. So by doing something that really gives value and really is transformative in their lives, that's the thing to start with.
Yeah, I like this idea so much. And I want to explore this a little bit because a lot of people are going to say, well, you know what, I can't afford to give my stuff away for free. And you know, or maybe they're thinking, I don't know what I could give away for free. And you know, and I want to use this example. When you go to the malls, I'm sure they do this all over the world, but here in America, when you go to the mall, the malls have a food court. And you will have people giving away free samples. And it's not, to use your word, it's not like a trashy, you know, sample, they're going to give them away a sample of their chicken or their pastry or their drink in hopes that you go, wow, that's great. I want to buy the whole chicken, the whole drink, the whole pastry, right? And this is what you're talking about, because what people are afraid of, and Sam, you correct me if I'm wrong, because again, you've been doing this for a while, people are afraid of making a bad mistake. And so by offering something for free, removing all that risk, people are going to be willing to try it. And if they have a good experience, Sam, then they're going to say, I want to do more. Let me go ahead and try you a little bit more. Now that you've delivered this free, wonderful experience, I know who you are and I want to trust you a little bit more. What else do you have, right? That's what you're talking about. That's the whole reason to get people to try you out on some level for free.
Exactly. And this is what we call it, the strategy of risk reversal. And rather than that massive risk that that customer may have felt, what we've done is we've said, you know what, as the business owner, I'm going to take that risk. Let me take that risk on your part because I believe in what I'm doing. I know this is going to really meet your need. Either it's going to be this delicious chicken experience, it's going to be this lovely smoothie that you're going to taste, whatever that might be. Or in other businesses as well, maybe, you know, I've been working recently with a made-to-measure tailor, and they're trying to get more people to take this first step because, do you know what, the problems, and I didn't know this, but the return rate on clothing bought online is huge. And some of the most tricky to fit items are trousers. This is a women's custom sort of tailoring service, all made to measure. And the return rate on standard purchases is huge. Sometimes 60 or 70% of items are returned. And, you know, there's one option here, which is to actually have things made for you. And for many people, they just think, do you know what, that's going to be too expensive. And so what we've looked at doing here is doing something a little bit different. Rather than giving someone, you know, making them take that big step of actually engaging, getting fitted, having something made for them, we did two things. First off, we said, let's guarantee the purchase, okay? If you're not satisfied for any reason when you've got it finished, you get a complete refund. But more than that, we wanted them to come in and have an easy entry point because maybe you don't want to spend $100 or $200 on the trousers in the first place just to take that risk. So what we did was we created a free entry-level engagement. And this was all about creating a downloadable guide that they can look at on their iPad, on their phone, as we all do these days. And that guide, of course, is targeted at addressing each of the concerns. And of course, this was back to knowing the customer. What we looked at was what were the barriers that we were starting to see in the customer's mind? What was stopping them saying, do you know what, this seems like such a good thing, but maybe it's for someone with more money, or maybe this is for someone other than me. And I'm worried about the fit, or it looks great on the model, but I don't think it would look good on my body shape. And what we did was we took all of those concerns and we unpicked them. And what we did was we've answered each of those in this guide that, of course, steps the potential new customer through for free, answers all their questions, and, of course, invites them along to a free fitting. And so that way, we have really engaged them. We've knocked down so many of the barriers, and we're starting to see that picking up now.
I love that. What a great, great example of engaging the customer, but not only engaging the customer, but how you guys went about doing it, right? So as you said, the customer is concerned about several things. A, will this fit? B, you know, am I going to be losing my money? And C, will this look good on my particular body type? Because that is definitely a conversation that we all have, right? And so I love the way you broke that down. And again, this is one of those things that companies right now must do in order to engage that customer and get past those eight barriers you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's so many ways of doing it as well. And you know, there may be other business owners out there thinking, yeah, well, how can I do this? And this is the creative leap. And sometimes it's the tricky step. How do we create something which is that free first move? And, you know, we've done this also with people who are working in like garden services businesses or pool care businesses and this kind of thing where, you know, people think they can do these things themselves. And of course they can. And what you can do, of course, is give someone a guide to how they can solve the problem themselves. And that's a great thing because the biggest barrier these days often is getting someone, when they see another free guide, the problem is how do you actually incentivize someone to download even a free guide? Because we're so marketing wary these days. So if you can help someone maybe save money or save time and say, you know, maybe you can save money by doing this home job yourself. Maybe it's how to do your decorating in 10 easy steps. But actually, when they read through the steps, what they realize is, do you know what? I could really, rather than me take this on, it actually sounds quite in-depth to do a really good job. Maybe it's worth hiring the decorator. And guess what? The whole guide's by our decorating company. And so the first one I call is the one that's shown me how to get it exactly right. And so you start off showing them exactly how to do it. And if they choose to do it, they can follow your steps. They're all legitimate. They can do this themselves. It helps them do a great job themselves. But if they choose to upgrade and they say, do you know what? Well, even for this one room or for this special finishing touch, I'm going to get a professional in to do that. You're top of the list for them to call because you're the expert that's given them all the trusted advice. So that's quite a neat way of sort of spinning that round to get that result.
Yeah, I like that so very much. And, you know, I tell you, I just remembered an experience that a friend of mine was telling me about. And so in a lot of places where it's a very mature competitive marketplace, it's very difficult to break in a new market, right, or a new territory. And so this friend of mine was telling me that, you know, he got a knock on the door, and the person on the door was a lawn care service. But he says it wasn't – he says the first thing you notice right off the top of his top is that the guy wasn't all grungy, right? He was dressed in, you know, I think in shorts and a nice polo shirt with the logo embroidered on it, but he looked clean, right? You could tell that he was not the guy doing the actual service, right? And it turns out that he's the owner of the company, and he says, hey, we would like to mow your grass for free so we can show you how good we are. And of course, my friend said, yeah, sure. I mean, he didn't hesitate. He figured, you know, even if they did a bad job, you know, it was free. They couldn't screw it up that much. And right now my friend is paying, you know, like $75 every other week or every 2 weeks, whatever, to get his lawn taken care of. And so this guy, you know, so he said, sure, I'll give you guys a try. And so the guy mowed the lawn, and what he did is that once he was finished, he came out there. He says, hey, I want you to check out the lawn. And he wasn't home, but the wife was, and she said, oh, you guys did a great job. And so what the guy did at this point, he says, hey, let me give you a coupon. So next time you want your lawn done, we'll be glad to come back and do it for just $10. So he went from a free customer to a $10 customer, and then when he mowed the lawn again, he left him another coupon, and I think he mowed the lawn for $20. And this time, Sam, he left some flowers for the wife of the home because he realized that she had some house plants, and he picked up on it and dropped off some that the wife would enjoy. But my point being is, this guy busted his backside to earn a new customer. So, you know, he didn't make money the first four or five or six times he mowed that guy's lawn. All he was doing is, like you said, he reversed the risk. He's building the relationship. He's building the know, like, and trust. And since my friend has become this guy's customer, he has referred him three or four and new customers. So, you know, there are some people out there listening saying, man, you know, I can't afford to do that. My thinking is you can't afford to do that, because to me, that was one of the cheapest, fastest way to acquire a new prospect is, as you said, deliver good value. And that's what he did. He did that at his cost for three or four or five times, until they were addicted to his service.
Yeah, and you're so right. And what he did was, he didn't just earn the one customer, by the sounds of it, he earned five with those four referrals.
Yes.
And the power of the referral is so strong, because it is the killer of one of those barriers. It's the trust barrier. If we don't trust someone, if it's just the flyer through the door, something like that, someone coming in, I don't know you, there's no trust. But when you've got someone saying, we've been using this guy and look what he did, suddenly, yeah, come on over, you know, do my lawn too. And it's the easiest way in. It's the very best referral. And what happens here, of course, is, you know, you can guarantee what happened. You know, he just dissolved away so many of those barriers. He removed the price barrier, and then he had, as you said, almost addicted them. There was a like an ethical way of building the habit of using his service by using those coupons in a progressive manner. And what you've done there is given really a perfect example of the next step I was going to suggest as a way to eliminate these barriers, and that's to help people ascend up your value steps over time. And you might start with a basic offer. You can imagine how maybe the next step for that situation would be the gardener says, well, you know, why don't you come onto our discounted subscription service, and we'll take care of your hedge trimming, your borders, we'll take care of your lawns, and it's just $150 a month. You know, and suddenly you're not only paying, but you're locked in. And so they
right.
can like start to build their business. And so you go from free to basic service to subscription. And you know what? The most exciting thing, Bert, there's always in any group of customers, there's about 10%, just 10%. And if you can find them, they will ascend through your steps like this. And they will say, do you know what? Yeah, we want the pool doing. You know, we want the pool building. You know, and so suddenly you go from the $150 a month subscription to like the $15,000 upsell, you know, into the
right.
massive value-added service. And it's not every customer, but, you know, and it may not go to so big, but it could be something which, you know, is a major piece of renovation or landscaping work they want done. Maybe they want the driveway relaying or something like that, and your team can do that as well. So you suddenly get a huge win. And again, this can also be built up by referral. So what we're doing is we are removing those barriers with the trust, delivering real value every single time, and it's just letting our business grow and grow. And it then becomes dependable by locking it in with a subscription model as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that is such an amazing thing, and I want to talk about it a little bit more because this idea that you're talking about will work for restaurants, right? I mean, somebody can be brought in to, you know, try a free lunch, and they, as you said, they go up through they ascend up the ladder, if you will, right? So they try the free lunch. Maybe they get a coupon to come and get a half-price dinner. Maybe they get some free appetizers, and then they can become part of their what do you call it, club, right? So you know, massage therapists can do this. You know, really, it's just being creative. But I'm thinking there's a lot of businesses that can really employ this type of marketing strategy.
So many, but and that's why I really wanted to share this with the audience today, because it's almost universal, and I spend so much of my time helping business owners, helping marketing teams remove these barriers. And like I said at the very top of this, you know, sometimes they just don't see these, and that's why I call the business obvious marketing, because we're so often helping the business owners and the marketing managers fix problems they just don't see, because it's obvious to them what they do and how
right.
they do it, and they think it's going to be obvious to their customers. But it's not. And so these barriers are there, so many of these barriers, and sometimes they're relatively easy for us to fix. And, you know, people say, well, Sam, how do you do this in your business? Well, we start with a free phone call. And do you know what? I'm not a hard closer on my phone calls. I don't do that. I say to them, and do you know what? You can almost hear the sigh of relief. I say to people, look, I'm not going to close you on this call. Don't worry about that. Just relax. You know, and suddenly you get what's called buying atmosphere. Buying atmosphere is the bit, because none of us want to be sold. We all hate that hard closing. But if you let someone buy, oh, they'll buy and buy. And so what I always do, I just say, listen, I'm going to follow this up. I'm going to summarize what I've understood about your needs. And I'm going to send you an email with some options for you and let them pick what they want to buy. And very often I'll say, look, do you want to start with something low price so you can just get involved with this? And very often they say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Or they'll upsell themselves. And I say, I'm going to take this at the same time. But that way they are choosing to buy because I've listened to them and helped tell the story that they already want to hear. And so what starts off as a free call really becomes a proper value-adding session for them. They're learning something, they're thinking about it, and they're getting an opportunity when they're ready to ascend up these value steps. So that's the way it works. And what we do is we work out how we can rapidly work with them to remove the barriers that are blocking them at the moment and increase their sales velocity, get them more sales coming in quickly. And that way, anything they're paying for our services just gets paid for through their increased revenue.
Sure, absolutely. And I want to ask you this question because I'm sure that this happens to you quite a bit, where maybe you have a, you know, you have a free strategy session with a customer today, and we'll say what is today, November 28th, and you know they may not do business with you, they may not engage with you until 3 or 4 or 5 months later, you know, January, February, March of next year, you know, and sometimes they might do this on their own, but it also helps to follow up with them. But do you find that sometimes you will start with a customer in November and then 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road, they finally engage with you?
Absolutely. And sometimes you find that, you know, you as a marketer and as marketing teams, you know, we have to kind of lay those crumbs out there on the water for people to sort of pick up when they're ready. And it's so important, you know, you have to do your marketing for some short-term wins. And of course, sometimes, you know, we need that short-term cash flow into a business. But other times, yeah, let someone buy when they're ready. I literally had someone contact me by email last week, and I was delighted. You know, it really put a smile on my face. They said to me, Sam, I saw you speak at Twickenham Stadium. This is in the UK. You know, we were at Twickenham Stadium is the home of England rugby. Okay, so this is a big deal over here. And, you know,
sure.
Big stadium. I'm speaking to a lot of people. And, of course, I didn't know who was out there. But this was May 18th, 2016. And someone came to me last week and said, Sam, I saw you speak. And I was like, oh, where? Because I hadn't spoken for a while. And they said, yeah, well, it was at Twickenham. Don't you remember? I remember being there, of course. Anyway, they remembered. And so there was a lot of people at that event. And people are still just coming back. And so you just never know. But you lay that out there as this offer is that free. And I was speaking to them. They were all absorbing this information for free. I then gave them more free ebooks. I gave them free information so they could connect with me. And that was enough. And then, as you say, Bert, they came back when they were ready to buy. And, we're working together now. So you're right. The customers come along sooner or later.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love what we talked about today. I mean, this is, you know, everybody listening today probably got great blueprint on what they can do to eliminate growth and sales barriers. You know, we talked several strategies on how they can grow market share, even in a very competitive marketplace. You know, it doesn't always take money. Sometimes it's an investment of time, and you know, it's going to be one or the other. Sometimes, you know, but either way, you have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And I love this idea of giving away free value. And if you can give away a good report, great. But maybe it's going to take giving away a little bit of, you know, giving away some of your service. Maybe it's free food. Maybe it's, you know, free lawn care or free massage or, you know, maybe some free dental care or something to get people in the door. So, you know, as you talked about, Sam, it's that risk reversal. If you can take away 100% of the risk, then your clients are probably going to give it a try. And one of the things that I don't want to, gloss over, and you mentioned this, is giving people a 100% money back guarantee. This is extremely crucial because, again, it reverses their risk. And there's so many things that you laid down today where people can start thinking about who their customers are. And they can start thinking about, do any of these eight barriers, have anything to do with us? Do you know, are we doing anything about these eight barriers? Are we hurting ourselves? Can we make it better for ourselves? Do they pertain to us? That's the word I was looking for. Do any of these eight barriers pertain to our company or to our sales force or to our department? And so this is one of those great things. So I'm hoping that people will take some notes, maybe listen to the show again. And if you have questions and you want to get together with Sam and maybe do some strategy, you can go to obviousmarketing.com, obviousmarketing.com, and Sam will be glad to, sit down and speak with you. Also, in the show notes, for you guys who are going to click on the show notes, and whether you're watching this, listening to this on your phone or on your desktop, the contact for Obvious Marketing, it's just one click. So then it basically says anyone who wants help on their marketing can book time with me, and you just click on that link and you'll be able to book time with Sam. And Sam works with everybody all over the world, so he can help you. And as you can tell, he's an easy guy to deal with. Doesn't believe in a hard sale, and I guarantee if you spend some time with Sam, just like you did today, you're going to walk away with some different ideas about your business. Sam, anything that I missed?
Spot on, Bert. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. It's great to be on Money for Lunch, and thank you very much for having me. It's great to share these tried and tested and proven ideas.
I love it. I love it. Great stuff there from Sam Waterfall. Sam Waterfall is the CEO and founder of Obvious Marketing, and you can find out more of Obvious Marketing at obviousmarketing.com. I just love that name, that title. I think it's easy to remember. And so, you know what, as he said, sometimes what is not obvious to us because we're in the woods, Sam can look at it from that 30-foot level, right? Or what do they call it, 30,000-foot level, and see what's wrong with the forest kind of a deal. And so I'm always a big believer of getting a strategy session, talking to a coach, getting somebody to help me out. And, again, you can click on the show notes, and you can see the link there, and you can book a time with Sam, and he'll help you out. He'll give you some valuable information. I guarantee it. And the best thing about it, it's not going to cost you anything but a couple of minutes of your time. As always, we're so grateful that you stopped by. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.